Take your Bible this morning, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and we'll focus in on the 10th verse and ask for the Spirit of God to guide us as we do. Would you bow together with me? Father, we want to honor you today, and Lord, we don't want to say anything that is outside of what your word says, but help us, Lord, to say the things that your word says in such a way that we will take it to heart and live it out. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of serving with this body in this way. And Lord, I pray that you would use us now to the glory of God. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We've been talking about the person and work of the Holy Spirit for the last several weeks. And last week I talked about specific spiritual gifts and some things in that line. And so I'm not going to revisit that anymore. But what I am going to say is that two different places, it tells us that the gifts of the Spirit are for the profit of all. It says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, early in the chapter. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, where we're looking today, it says, as every man has received a gift, even so minister that gift to one another as good stewards of the manifold or the multifaceted grace of God. And so as we see this, the purpose of the spiritual gifts is so that we might function as the body of Christ. And when the Apostle Paul is helping the church to understand this, he uses the picture of the human body. And he says, the hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. The eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of you. He says, because if that were the case, where would be the hearing? And if that, you know, and if you were to say, I have no need of you, where would be the smelling? As he talks about that, he's saying that every part functions together. Now, you know what it's like when every part is functioning together? You feel good, okay? And things, you know, are as they ought to be. How about when they're not? Anybody ever just hammering a nail and all of a sudden you hit the wrong nail? Your whole body knows it, okay? I mean, you're not thinking that hurts. You're thinking, I hurt everywhere, okay? Because it's not functioning right because of what just happened. Well, I want you to understand that even as small as the nail on your thumb, it's still very, very important. By the way, you better be glad it's there so you didn't smash that thing clear off, okay? Because it's there to guard it from just such a thing. But as we think, Wendell's pointing at me here back here. You don't even count to five on that hand, do you? but when we think about the idea of the human body functioning as it should, every part of us is important. Every part of us is necessary. And Wendell, just to make point, when there are things you can't do now that you could do before, right? Because that part of that finger's missing. You see, when we see those things in our physical body, we recognize them in a very practical way. May I say to you that it's very practical within the body of Christ that every one of us do our job? And if we are not doing our job, or we're trying to do someone else's job, or we're trying to fit where we don't belong, we don't like the gift that we've been given. You know, I've had people say, boy, I just wish I had a different gift. Well, I wish I had some gifts that I don't have, but I've got news for you. I'm not dissatisfied because I know somewhere within the body of Christ someone has those gifts. And so when I heard a preacher say one time, you know, if an eyeball said, man, a toe said, I wish I was an eyeball. Man, I just wish I was an eyeball. And God gives him what he wants. All he'd ever see is the inside of a sock. So, you know, when we think about that, we need to understand that we need to be satisfied with whatever gift God gives us. But as we see that, we need to realize that only believers, only Christians have spiritual gifts. And you must know Jesus personally in order to have any spiritual gift. How do we know Jesus personally? Well, it says in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, that he came into his own. His own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, to them that believe on his name. So how many of them got the gift of being a child of God? As many as received him. Have you received Christ? You see, that's the starting place for everything I'm going to talk about today. And if you are not a child of God, you need to receive the gift of eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a starting place. And thankfully, most people here who are, everybody here that's a child of God has come to that starting place. But if you are here and you are not a child of God, there needs to be a starting place, and that is receiving Christ as your Savior. Having done so, we need to know that born-again believers have these gifts, and only born-again believers. Okay, when it comes to, say, you know, the gift of giving. You know, there are philanthropists all over the world and people who have lots of money, but the person with the gift of giving may not have lots of money, but they're generous with whatever they have. And so that's a spiritual gift. And when we see these things, there are lots of ways that they look like normal kinds of functions in society. But when you see it functioning in the church, it works for the benefit of that body. Now hear me and hear me well. Every local church is the place where we are to exercise our gifts. So allow God to live through you every day. And if you are looking for ways to help you find your spiritual gift, and that's what we're talking about today, is finding your spiritual gift. Allow God to live through you every day. Be active in a local church. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm a part of the universal church. That's all fine and good, but see, that's God's business, not yours. The universal church is His, but folks, every expression of the church that you see in the New Testament, every one of them was someplace, in a town, in a locale. And what I want you to understand is, when we talk about the church, we're talking about the local church. Folks, this is a local church. It's the only church on Monkey Island, I believe. So we have a locality. Bernice has a locality. Cleora has a locality. Afton, Fairland, Grow. Every one of them have local churches, and they have a realm of outreach that functions in that place. Well, if we're to function properly in that place, we are active in a local church. And we are to learn that every believer has at least one gift. So you say, well, boy, when God was passing out the gifts, I must not have been there that day. Well, I've got news for you. If you were there the day you got saved, you were there. Because when you got saved, God gave you both the baptism of the Holy Spirit and a gift of the Holy Spirit that you are entered into the body of Christ. And as we see that, we don't need to be ignorant of God's word concerning the gifts, but we are to look then in areas of our desires. Now, you know, there are things that when I first started in ministry, the area of my desire was working with young people and singing. I just loved it. And I did what TJ does in leading worship, and I worked with young people and helped to develop them as Christian young people. And those gifts were functioning in me even in those ways. Now, there came a time where the calling of God was specifically to preach. I remember the day as clearly as today, that morning in Classen Boulevard Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, and I was in my office there reading in the book of Isaiah, and I'm reading a passage that is a prophecy about Jesus. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. And it was like the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, I wrote this for you last night. Now, it had been there all along. But it was like it jumped off the page now, and it was like, I have anointed you to preach the gospel. Wasn't on my radar. Okay? Wasn't planning that. But I had a desire to communicate the gospel to people, and now I had a greater platform to do so. And so as I saw that, I was already called to God. I tell young people all the time who say, well, I don't know if I'm called to be a missionary, a music director, a pastor, a teacher. I don't know what I'm called to be. Folks, let me just tell you, you're called to God. And whatever God chooses to use in your life, that's the calling He wants to raise up in you. But that specific day it was to say to me, who wasn't expecting it, you're going to preach the gospel. Now, when it comes to the finding your gift, we also need to have earnest prayer and openness to whatever God chooses. And we need to say, okay, Lord, now I understand, I'll do it. Now, hear me on that. You may not understand it fully, but you'll understand it immediately when God does show it to you, and it will develop as you begin to practice your spiritual gift. So how do you get a spiritual gift? Well, we receive it, both the gift and the gifts, as I said, of the Holy Spirit at salvation. I was listening to a message this week. A fellow told me to listen to this, and you'll understand the Holy Spirit better than you do. And so I listened to it, and I thought, that guy doesn't understand the Holy Spirit anywhere. Now, as I began to listen to that, it was clear to me that when it comes to the understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, we receive both the gift of eternal life and the spiritual gift that will eventually be clear to you, and you will be using it when you are under the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the book of Acts, there are several accounts where the gifts are present at salvation. There are places in where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are a way of manifesting himself so others will recognize the message of God. There are ways where the gifts that we're given are something that is sovereignly bestowed by God. You don't pick it out. You don't go to it and say, I look at this gift and say, I think I'll take that one and I'll take this one and that one. No, not that one. Uh-uh. You're not the one who does that. God gives the gifts as he wills. And we need to understand that he knows what the long picture of your life's going to be and what's going to come out of you, and you don't know it. Sometimes you want to thank God you didn't know it. But nevertheless, as we recognize that, we find that the gifts of the Holy Spirit then are sovereignly bestowed by God. How do we know that? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 and verse 28 both say that he bestows the gifts as he wills. And then it is absolutely not essential that you know what your gift is, because you don't have to know, but it sure helps, okay? When it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you know what that gift is, you'll have your radar up. I mean, you'll be thinking, okay, now this is the area where God has gifted me, and you begin to realize this is the thing that God may use in me when you hear it and find it in the Scripture. But when it comes to being commanded to know what your gift is, you're never commanded to, but however, you're also not to be ignorant of it, okay? But any believer who is following God's will is exercising his gift naturally and supernaturally when they are following God's will. It's helpful to know what your gift is in order to build it up. I mean, you know, when you're working on particular muscles in your body, you know there are different ways that if you're lifting weights that you're focusing on different muscle groups. Sometimes it's your legs. Sometimes it's the sides of your torso. Sometimes it's your biceps. Sometimes it's something altogether different. But as you do that, every different exercise of that body is developing because you are focusing on a specific area. Well, do you know when you understand what your gift is, you can focus on that area. And you can build it up, and you can recognize things that God wants done with you. So, how do I know what my gift is as far as identifying? Well, first of all, your desire will be in the area, and I'm not talking about a carnal desire, but I'm talking about, you know, looking at your personal inclination. It may be self-evident. You know, maybe you've been doing it for a long time, and suddenly someone says, yeah, I've seen that in you. You know, that's public recognition. The church oftentimes will recognize a gift before you recognize it. So where and how has God already used you in the church repeatedly? Well, if he's done that, then you recognize, okay, this is something that God is drawing out of me? Another way that you'll have public recognition is God will bless it. And you don't have to drum up business for your gift. I mean, you don't have to tell people, man, you ought to call me to preach at your church because I'm a preacher. You just don't have to do that. It'll come in such a way that people will recognize it and say, would you come and preach for us? Would you share with us, the congregation, the gifts that you have? Now, there's another way that's very rare, but it was prophetic declaration. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, chapter 1, verse 18, Paul talks about the gifts that Timothy had that were given by prophecy. Okay? While they're preaching and that kind of thing, he says, and this is the gift that I believe Timothy has. You know, that happened with George Truett and Charles Spurgeon and different people like that. They weren't planning to be preachers necessarily, but their church said, this is what we believe God wants you to do. We believe this is your gift. As they saw that, two of the greatest preachers in history were, by prophetic declarations, told, this is what you're to do. Now, I said that's very rare. It's not impossible. It was something that was very common during the apostolic era. During that apostolic era, I try to get my consonants to come out right. It was very important to listen closely to many of those who were powerful leaders, especially the apostles. But when we do have a particular spiritual gift, there'll be a proper confession. You know, some gifts are counterfeited. Do you know that? Some people pretend to have a spiritual gift, and they use it for usually means of personal gain, making lots of money and different things like that. That can be a counterfeit. And just because somebody has a big name and a great platform does not mean that they are necessarily truly exercising their spiritual gift. They may be selling Eskimo snowballs, you know. They may just have that kind of thing where they're able to just persuade people of their point of view. But nevertheless, when it comes to the exercising of spiritual gifts, Jesus will always be in the proper place in that person's confession. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says, no man says by the Spirit of Christ that he is accursed. And yet there were people who were claiming to have spiritual gifts in Corinth who were cursing Jesus. Absolutely a sign that was counterfeit. And so when you see those things, it's very important that we have the proper confession of Jesus. Because the Spirit always points to Jesus. Now, when it comes to exercising our gift, there needs to be a proper acceptance of your gift. And in other words, you're not just satisfied with your gift. God gives you the faith to exercise your gift. And then when we are exercising our gift, there's no sense of superiority. That was something I picked up from the message that was sent to me to listen to this week. And I listened to it with a sense that I'm up here and you're down here. Do you know what? That's never true. Never. There is never a time where you get a sense of superiority because of your spiritual gift. And if you do, you are exercising something wrong. All right? But when we think about that, we should also never have an inferiority complex about our gift. Mine's not as good as somebody else. Folks, if you have the gift of service, serve your heart out. Okay? If you have the gift of helps and you just come alongside someone who's good at something, go help them all you can. If you have the gift of giving, you don't have to, wave a flag and say, look at me, how I'm giving. Just give. You see, those things are not a place where we are superior or inferior. When we're exercising our spiritual gift under the power of the Holy Spirit, it will be properly expressed. And then when we think about the proper application of our gift, don't neglect your gift, okay? Paul told that to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that God has given you by the laying on of our hands. Do people neglect their gift? Yes. Oftentimes, they do. And that's for someone who probably already knows this is what God wants them to do, and they're saying, not going to do it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard preachers say, I fought the call of God, I fought the call. I didn't. I ran to it. I just thank God for the privilege that He would say, here you go. But I've talked to a lot of guys who've really fought it over and over and over again. They're neglecting the gift of God. It's in them already, but they're saying, no, 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 not me. And it's usually out of fear. And then we need to stir up the gifts that are in us. We're told that in 2 Timothy 1:6. And when it comes to that, how do we stir up the gifts? We encourage people, practice what God's given you. Use it in the body of Christ. Edify the church. Help other people be blessed because of the gift that's in you. That's very, very important. And then when we think about the exercising of our gift should always glorify God. According to the passage we read today, after it says we're to do so as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, verse 11 goes on to say, whoever speaks, it is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves, as one who is serving by the strength by which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So in that passage, he's saying the reason God gives those gifts is to glorify God. It's to lift Him up. It's to make His church look and function as a complete body. And then a proper adjustment of our gift, where every member is to be fitted to the head according to Ephesians 4:16. Who's the head of the body of Christ? Is it the preacher? Uh-uh. Is it the other elders? No. Is it the deacons? Is it the women's ministry? Is it the men's ministry? None of that. The church doesn't belong to any of us. The head of the church is Jesus. And if Jesus is the head of the church, we need to be rightly fitted to Him, related to Him every single day. By the way, the only time that you exercise your gift is when you are in church, you're not fitted rightly to the head. Because your gift will function everywhere. It will bless the church. It will build up the church. But it will function anywhere as the body of Christ. So when we think about this, every person then is responsible for the use of their gift. Because you see, we're told in 2 Corinthians that we're to be a steward, and every steward is to be found faithful. What's a steward? Well, that's somebody who takes on the responsibility for someone else. You ever been on a cruise ship? If you have, the steward's that guy that tells you, and he tells everybody who's under him, do this, make sure this gets done, here's where the lifeboats are, they just give you all of the instructions as though they own the ship. They don't own the ship, okay? But they are stewards of their responsibility. Well, folks, we don't own the church, but we're stewards of what God's given us to help it function within the church as God intends for those gifts to function. So we must all give an account of ourselves to God. Also, we must be a faithful steward, as Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. You remember the parable of the talents, and one was given five talents, another three talents, another one, and each one doubled their talents, or five or ten and one. But whatever it was, they doubled their talents. Now, that wasn't talking about their abilities. It was talking about the money that was given to them, and they invested it and returned a greater amount than they were given. Well, understand that when we are faithful stewards, we're returning to God that which He's invested in us, and it will bring many dividends for the kingdom of God. So if we have received a gift, we're to minister that gift to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Why? that he may be glorified in his church. Let me pray together, and then we'll offer you a time to respond tonight, today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. And Lord, I pray today that you will make it clear to us that there is something you are wanting to draw out of each of us in our spiritual gift. Father, I pray that where we don't know, that we could begin to be curious enough to seek it, seek to find what you've given us. Father, I pray that you would give us the functioning body you want us to have right here. Father, may we never, ever see ourselves as more important than others. And God, I pray that you would cause us today to have a response that says yes to Jesus, even before we know all of the questions. Lord, we trust you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name.